This evening in our first session, the first session of our Lent course, I want to build a foundation for everything else I'm going to be talking about. A good friend of mine, a church leader in the United States, was once asked to visit a lady who had experienced enormous challenges in her life. And as he went in the door, the lady took a look at my friend and sighed. "Oh," she said, "I suppose you want to hear about my sex life. That's the first thing that all my other counsellors ask me about." "Well, if you want to talk about that, we certainly can," replied my friend. "But when it comes to exploring what's really going on, I'd much prefer to hear about your prayer life." And I think he's right. I think that prayer goes to the very heart of what it means to be human. And that prayer, rather than simply being a shopping list to God, that our prayer life not only reveals what is truly, what is really going on within us, but prayer also can be the deepest source of life, of sustenance, of joy that we can ever experience. Which is why in our Lent course this year, we're going to be exploring the life of prayer. And especially I want to share with you some fresh perspectives, some new insights, some practices of prayer that I've discovered both during my sabbatical and subsequent reading, especially in Ignatian spirituality, and particularly in the writings of a Jesuit Catholic priest called Richard J. Hauser, S.J. And I share these insights simply because, well, not only are they rooted in the Bible, not only have they been tried and tested for centuries, not only have I found them so helpful, but for me they seem to have knitted together all of the experiences that I've had in many different denominations over my Christian walk. And these new treasures have brought me such joy and such freedom and such intimacy with God that as your vicar I thought I'd better share them with you, really. So let's begin at the beginning, shall we? With an event that just changed everything. The Christian equivalent of the Big Bang, by which I mean the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, the New Testament is emphatic that everything changed because of the arrival and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But then there was another event which flowed directly from all of those previous actions, which then transformed and revolutionized everything yet again. The subsequent sending, the giving of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit's presence now in the world, and especially in the lives of believing Christians. So why did the sending of the Holy Spirit change everything? Well, the Apostle Paul explained that before Jesus and the sending of the Spirit, the primary presence of God on the earth was in the revered temple in Jerusalem. If you wanted to experience God, that's where you had to go. That's why there were so many pilgrimages and festivals always centered upon Jerusalem. You wanted God, that's where you had to go. But no more. As Paul writes, that's the temple. "Didn't you realize that you were God's temple and that the Spirit of God was living among you? If anybody would destroy the temple of God, God would destroy him, because the temple of God is sacred and you are that temple." Christians, that's us. The very presence of God is within us. And this changes everything. For the scriptures don't simply point to the Spirit as the new presence of God in believers. They firmly insist that this Spirit, once given to us, once within us, is now continually active and powerful in our lives. All of our lives, once we've turned to Christ. It is the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, would empower his believers, empower the disciples in their mission. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you'll be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea, Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth." And it happened. That's what happened. And to the Apostle Paul, this event, this receiving the Holy Spirit into the lives of new Christians, was so transformative that they hadn't so much received new lives, they were instead new creation. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. And now there is a new one here because of the work of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul wrote this because this was his lived experience. You see, prior to this, his life was all about abiding by the rules and keeping to the letter of the law. But now God was within him, his life had a whole new focus and freedom as he sought to respond to the internal directions of the Spirit of God within him. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. God's Spirit had joined with his Spirit and could and would now direct his life. And the same is true for us today. So now that we have the Holy Spirit within our lives as we turn to Christ, does that mean now that we're perfect? Now that we're received, or do we have only a tendencies flowing towards good? Well, sadly not. The New Testament stresses that we're still all divided beings, also possessing tendencies towards evil. We continually experience pressures from within ourselves as well as environmental actions, external environment, moving us away from inclinations of the Spirit. But, and it's a very big but, the clear message of Scripture is that we do not need to be controlled by these inclinations. For if the presence of the Spirit doesn't take away these inclinations, as it certainly didn't for the Apostle Paul, it does give us the power not to be controlled by them. For grace is stronger than sin. And what is grace? Well, according to St. Paul, for him, grace meant everything God has given us in Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit being the final completion of what God has given us in Jesus. So we might consider grace to be the power given us through the presence of the Spirit to enter into a deeper relationship with Christ so that we might become more like him. This is what the Holy Spirit is up to in your life and my life, so that we may indeed become more like Jesus. But here's the thing. Here's what makes this grace, this gift of God, the Holy Spirit, unlike any other relationship we have. For it is through his Spirit that Jesus always takes the initiative. His role is primary. By which I mean, we can go to him only because he first draws us to himself. Any movement to Christ, any movement towards good within us occurs because he sent his help. It is the work of the Holy Spirit already within us. And it goes without saying that we have a crucial role in keeping ourselves open to the Lord as he extends his initiative. We are free to ignore his promptings and act contrary to them. But this should not dilute the fact that we can move towards the Lord, towards good, because he enables us to move. So according to this understanding, the fact that you are here is already the work, the sign of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be encouraged. God is already at work within you. No more waiting for yet another experience. The Holy Spirit is already at work now within you and within me. So let me summarize. The scriptural understanding of the Christian insists that the Holy Spirit is present within us, continually active in us, continually extending, continually taking the initiative in moving us away from evil towards good, in shaping us, transforming us to become more like Jesus, whose Spirit now lives within us. And our role now is to become aware of these movements of the Spirit within us, to listen and to respond and to cooperate and keep in step with and to say yes. But this isn't what I was told. This isn't how I was taught that Christianity works. Often, I was brought up with another understanding altogether. In his book, Richard Hauser goes on to explore two models, two diagrams, which I found really helpful to distinguish actually what's really going on here. The Western model of a person, the self-outside God model, as opposed to the model that we've been looking at, the scriptural model, the self-in God model. So let me explain. Let's look at what might be called the Western self-outside God model. This is what I was taught. In the Western model, the experience of God is never, the existence of God is never disputed, but God resides primarily in heaven, outside of self. The transcendence, the otherworldliness of God is so stressed that there's little or no acknowledgement of God's immanence, God's working within us. As a result, within this model, all good desires flow from our natural capacities and willpower, with God having very little to do with it. You work. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Christians, vicars were there to make sure that you felt guilty, because that was the main reason to whip you up a bit, to make you work harder. All good flows from our natural capacities and willpower. God has little role, if at all. And with grace being the reward that God gives, safely stored in heaven as a reward for our good deeds. That's what I was taught. My brothers and sisters, this is nonsense. This isn't true at all. This isn't what we have. It's brilliant if you want to keep God at a safe distance. It works really well if you want to do good stuff on Sunday, but then do as you please every other rest of the time. You keep God safely in a box. It's fab. As long as you keep smiling, as long as you worry, keep not worried about what's going on. You may feel lousy about it. You may have that constant nagging feeling of guilt, wondering whether you've got heaven or not. But that's kind of what I was taught. It's not biblical at all. Now, the realities revealed by Jesus, as recorded in scriptures, lived by Christians down the centuries, makes much more sense. And it's far more exciting, far more liberating, and far more livable than that. And it's called the scriptural self-in God model. And it goes like this. God is precisely that, within the believer, through the giving of the gift to the Holy Spirit. And grace is the constant activity of God's Spirit within us. The power given us through the presence of the Spirit to enter into a deeper relationship with Christ and so become more like him. This is what's going on. So in the self-outside model, that one, the person initiates, God rewards. Grace is a treasury of merit stored up in heaven, earned by your good deeds. The focus is on reward for self now and in heaven after death. And the emphasis is upon sporadically performed good deeds. That's how this works. Whereas the self-in God model, it is God who initiates and the person responds. Grace is the transformation of the total person into the likeness of Christ by the freely given gift of God the Holy Spirit. Our focus, therefore, is upon loving God and others in intimate relationship with God now. The emphasis is on internal attitudes and continual awareness of the Spirit's movements within us. So the question now becomes, how do we do this? How do we adequately acknowledge the role of the Spirit in my good actions? How do I pay attention to the activities of the Holy Spirit within me? How do I cooperate? How can I know and enjoy and relish the presence of the Holy Spirit within me? How do I say yes? How do I journey onwards in this journey of transformation to be more like Jesus, which the Holy Spirit, who is within me already, wants to accomplish. He's more keen on it than I am. He wants to do it within me. Well, that's what we're going to explore in the course. That's what this is all about. And as I said, if you want to take time to think about what I've said, on the back table, there is a list that says, I can give you the recording or you can have the full text if you don't mind my spelling and my grammar, which is dreadful. But this is what we're going to explore together. How can we listen to the God who has already taken the initiative, who wants to take the strain and the pain out of our relationship with earning the relationship with God? What if it's not earned? What if it's there already? What if God just wants us to pay attention to what he already wants to do within us? Amen.